Podcast. This is Nick, and we are doing another issue of All Access Nerds.
This is Ryan.
How are you doing, Ryan?
Doing great. Doing really, really good. Yeah, I'm excited because as we're recording this, it's Saturday, beautiful Saturday here in Marion. We're actually together in the same room again, which is kind of rare, first time in maybe four episodes or so, maybe three.
It has been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. But yeah, technology's been great. And yeah, it's been an awesome week. And next week's going to be a four-day week, which is great because we're having a three-day weekend. I'm excited for that. And yeah, also something huge happened. So I'll talk about that here later today, later this episode. And we can go into that. Yeah, later some point.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Same old, can't complain.
There you go.
Wouldn't change anything.
I heard that a lot.
Yeah. How about if we go ahead and kick off with some comic books, you can start first.
Yeah, read some comics this time. And actually, it was the Button miniseries, I guess you want to call it. Four-part event, mini-event, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they're calling it. I'll call it a mini-event. And it was really, really good. I was really excited about it. And I heard a lot about it because of Rebirth, when it all started with The Flash and Batman. And it kind of ramped it up. I guess they mentioned it a few times within each of their titles. Yeah, this was the event. I think it started last month and ended this month. It was really solid. I decided to wait until I got them all, got the last issue, and just went ahead and read them back to back to back to back. Yeah, four issues. And yeah, so the single issues, unfortunately, I can't remember what happened in which issue. But either way, spoiler alert, aplenty coming up. So we have, I'll just go over the entire event essentially. So we have Barry Allen teaming up with Batman, you know, with Flash teaming up with Batman, Bruce Wayne. This Button that came in through Rebirth, and it looks just like the Comedian's Button. It even has the blood stain on it, the smiley face. They're talking about it, and Bruce is really confused about this whole thing. The Reverse Flash comes in and like starts fighting Batman, beating him up really bad. And finally, Barry Allen comes in. They're talking about it a little bit, and he wants to time travel, I guess, because Reverse Flash actually comes back. He steals the button, comes back in time to the present where Batman is, and he's like, "I've seen it all." You know, I think he mentioned something like, "I saw God" or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then boom, he just dies. He like deteriorates or whatever and dies. And so Barry Allen, Flash, and Batman decide to go back and pass and stop him beforehand and try to find out like what this is, trying to find out more details about this button that magically appeared in Batman's cave at the beginning of the Rebirth. You know, back in, I'm gonna, it's been a year now, I think. Maybe a little more than a year.
Been that long?
I think so. Maybe even longer. Yeah, maybe a year. Can't remember. So the event happened and it was really solid. We see, actually, again, spoiler alerts aplenty. We see Thomas Wayne team up with Bruce Wayne, Batman, both Batman, Thomas Wayne from Flashpoint. And I love that. It was really solid idea. It's a really great idea. And I think they executed it phenomenally because Thomas Wayne helps fight, you know, these bad guys that come in and actually tells Bruce Wayne. Yeah, because it was the Atlanteans and the Amazonians, because it was still a Flashpoint world and they were still fighting. They teamed up to kill Thomas Wayne. Thomas was telling them, told Bruce, stop being Batman. Give it up. Go be a father to your son. Because Bruce Wayne just told him that, you know, I have a son and you're actually a grandfather now. Mm-hmm. So Thomas is like, you know, just it's worth it. Give it up. Don't be Batman for me. Do not be Batman for your mother. Like, move on. Like, there's other people who can do what you do. Go be a father. So I hope something happens there. We do have later in August, we do have a Nightwing event coming up. He's going to be like the main focus. And I think that might have something to do with that. Maybe we'll see. But I heard rumors that it's just an Elseworlds storyline. So we'll see about that. But I would like that, you know, Bruce Wayne, you know, feels convicted to be like, all right, you know, my own father told me. So yes, I'm going to go ahead and give it up. There's half a dozen people who can do what I do. I need to be a father. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully something, you know, impactful and bold happens, but we can't guarantee anything for sure.
Yeah, that was addressed in, I think, the last issue of that Flash, of that storyline. When the bat signal appears and Alfred says, you know, Master Bruce, aren't you going to answer that? And he's like, no, not tonight.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of just, you know, standing there. Just like, we'll see. But yeah, so to my understanding, they haven't canceled any bat books. So yeah, I think Bruce Wayne will still be Batman again. We'll have to wait and find out what all comes from that. But yeah, again, I really like the storyline. It was really cool. And it kind of mentioned at the very end, you actually saw Dr. Manhattan, because some of you who may not know, this whole The Button event with, you know, of course, the Comedian's Button from The Watchmen, because they're bringing in The Watchmen into the DC Universe. Before DC Entertainment owned Vertigo, the people who made Watchmen, they own the comics, but it's not in the shared same universe. And now they're finally doing that. They're going to bring them together. And I think it's called the Doomsday Clock, I think is what it's called.
Yep, Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens there. I think it's November that's coming out.
It is. It's November.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to pick that one up and check out that event, because this will be the first event, really, since first full event, to my understanding, since the Rebirth titles. Yeah, it was really solid. Got all four, read them all four, back to back to back. So I can't break down each title individually because I just read it, so we all kind of blurred into one. But
so you liked this, we'll call it a button crossover.
Mm-hmm.
You liked it?
Yes.
I did not.
Really?
Yes.
What's not to like about it?
Nothing was solved.
That's true. Yeah, near the end, there wasn't like a big resolution. There wasn't like, okay, we know what this button is now. Like, correct. Yeah, there was nothing there. But with the whole thing with Thomas Wayne, I guess, was the big thing for me. Him actually getting to meet Bruce Wayne, that was pretty big. Like, that's never happened before in comics. So it was pretty interesting to see that whole thing. There wasn't a good, solid resolution besides just a lead up for Doomsday Clock, in which they mentioned, you know, Dr. Manhattan. You only saw his hand in the very last few panels in the very last book. And then they said Doomsday Clock in November.
Well, the Doomsday Clock is going to basically revolve around Superman and the characters of Dr. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because they're bringing in all the characters of Watchmen.
A few of them, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the main ones at least. And, yeah, I guess the whole thing of, like, you know, Dr. Manhattan is going to be fighting Superman at some point because mm-hmm. Dr. Manhattan pretty much is a villain. So they're going to want to, you know, kind of build it up. Again, I don't know what chance Superman has, and I'm a huge Superman fan, but Dr. Manhattan, his power is just insane. So we'll see what happens.
Well, he's omnipotent. I mean, there's really nothing he can't do.
Yeah, exactly. So. Which is the issue of, like, him fighting Superman. We'll see what happens. Superman's probably going to lose a lot, but chances are with the Justice League help and Batman and Wonder Woman and everybody coming together, they'll probably find a way to stop him and do a lot of good stuff with time travel things and stuff. But yeah, that was the only stuff that I read, was just those four issues there. I wanted to read the second Secret Empire, but I didn't get to it. Did you get a chance to read that one?
I did. Yeah? I did read it.
What did you think?
It's okay. I'm super not impressed. I'm just, in the back of my head, I feel that this will be another waste of time for Marvel Comics in a limited series. As we talked about before, how they've hyped stuff up and then you're brought back, slam into the earth, and everything's the same. So I think that's the same thing that's going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah. I definitely want them to do something, but with the big, you know, headline of it that you're changing Captain America to always be a part of Hydra since the beginning, you're gonna have to change something at the end. Like, you see, it wasn't Bucky, but there was some guy, I guess, that he kills off in issue one, and is, I guess, he's really good friends with Steve Rogers again. I don't know who it is, but
it was Rick Jones.
Okay.
Rick Jones was with the Bruce Banner. He's the reason the Hulk exists.
Really? Okay.
Because yeah, Bruce Banner went out to save Rick Jones, save this teenager who was out at the blast field, and he's the one that Bruce Banner saved, threw in the trench, and then covered him with his body, and he got blasted with the radiation, the gamma radiation.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
So it's Rick Jones.
Okay. But yeah, so he gets killed off in issue one at the very end, and he was thinking the whole time, he's like, you know, I know, Steve, you're there, you're probably getting mind-washed or something, brainwashed, and I'll be fine. Like, I know you're not going to kill me, and sure enough, he kills him at the end. So I'm like, I'm sure Marvel people are freaking out right now, but I don't know who the character is, so it's not really the best. You know, you get in the first issue that, yes, he has a friend of his, he's close, and, you know, he still trusts Steve, he thinks they're, you know, he's gonna be okay. So you get that, but it's not like, you know, somebody who is fresh to Marvel Comics, hasn't really read, only seen the movies, this isn't, at the start, isn't a good, like, jumping on point event, especially with changing that many things.
Well, the thing is, too, at the end of issue number two, I don't think number three is out.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. At the end of issue number two, there's a super duper big spoiler, and I want to tell you, but...
Go for it. I'll probably forget by the time I get to it anyways.
Nope, you won't forget this one. I'll wait and let you read it.
Is it anything to do with Bucky?
No.
Okay. Then go ahead. Just the readers want to know. Listeners want to know.
Because you haven't read it yet. It's a key. It's important.
All right. I really don't mind.
I do.
Spoil it away.
I do.
I'm not going to care.
All right. We talked about the Secret Empire. You talked about the Batman Flash button crossover, which I was not impressed because nothing was resolved. Another hype of a storyline and nothing happened except for, like you said, Bruce gets to meet his dad, Thomas Wayne. which, I don't know, I found that anticlimactic. So we got Jean Grey in Marvel Comics, issues number 1 and 2. Jean Grey, as you know, is part of the original X-Men, so she's seen a glimpse of the future, and so she is trying to figure out how to avoid being the Phoenix. So in this issues 2, yeah, one, she figures it out, and 2, she decides to go visit her family, which her family is her daughter, Rachel Summers, who is from the future, who came back in the past because she was trying to escape being a mutant hunter. Hmm. Her granddaughter, Hope, who Hope Summers is Cable's daughter, obviously from the future. And Hope is the one that the Phoenix Energy was coming to A versus X. That's what that was based around. And there's another guy, this teenage boy, I forget who he is. But she goes to visit all three of them. And of course, they're fighting bad guys and they all team up together to fight these bad guys. In fact, it was the Marauders, I think. But still, it was kind of a waste of a storyline. Hmm. They're fighting and talking at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot. Like, I think DC does it too, but like there was, I forget which event it was, but there was one event and I was reading it and I was talking to one of my friends and he's like, this happens all the time. Like, there's so much fighting and talking at the same time. Just, I don't know, it doesn't really make sense. Like, Spider-Man does it, but like, it's more so like his like one lines and stuff like that. But there's like some stuff where it's like actual story progression going on and like legitimate conversation. I'm like, okay, that's weird, but I mean, that wouldn't actually happen. Granted, this is comic books, but still. Yeah, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, it was just kind of silly. So anyway, Jean Grey, it's okay. I'm waiting to see what happens with it. Thor, issue number 19. If you remember, last time we did a podcast, talked about Thor, issue number 18, where the Phoenix Force was headed towards Thor and they were getting ready to battle. She addressed the Phoenix Force as her alter ego, which is Jane Foster, and tries to reason with her and can't reason with her. So anyway, Thor ends up defeating the Phoenix Force along with the help of this teenage boy that I talked about in the Jean Grey book. He is destined to inherit the Phoenix Force. So I'm assuming he's a Grey, one of Jean Grey's spawn from some time. I don't know where or when or how he ties in. So he ends up taking a spark of this power to try to work things out with the Phoenix. So long story short, at the end of, in that book, issue number 19, Lady Thor is fighting the Phoenix. She gets joined by Odin's son, and they're kind of fighting the Phoenix together. Phoenix gets banished. They're back on Asgard. He's talking to Jane Foster, and she's looking up at Thor, and or Odin's son, and she says, "We need to talk. There's something that I should have told you a long time ago. Let's go in here and have a seat." And that's how that issue ends. So I'm assuming she's going to tell him that she's Lady Thor, Goddess of Thunder. So we'll see how that turns out. But I was talking to you about the Ultimate Fallout, Spider-Man issue number 4, where it introduces Miles Morales as the alternate universe Spider-Man.
Yeah, Ultimate. Yep.
Yeah. Ultimate. Yeah, yeah. Ultimate. Yeah, Ultimate. Yeah, which they might be bringing that universe back.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah. Like, they got rid of it, so why, I don't know, that's annoying. Like, why get rid of it if you're going to bring it back?
Actually, there was an article I read online, I forget who had it, but it was just recent, where Marvel addresses all the reboots that it does.
Really?
The starting of a series and stopping it and starting it again. They've done that a lot with a lot of the Avengers titles.
Yeah.
It's just because, for them, it's easier for people to pick up a new issue number one and continue with a new storyline, you know, instead of trying to go back and get old issues. Whereas people have been collecting a while, that's the challenge. We enjoy that, going back and trying to pick up back issues.
Yeah.
But
you want those issue 30s and 40s, like, for the story to still continue on. And then, you know, when you have a writer that is really good and he can still incorporate stuff from issues 1 and 2 and 3 and issue 45 or whatever, like, oh, I remember reading this. This makes sense. It's all connected. Really cool. But with all these, like, reboots and, like, you know, renumberings and stuff like that, really messed with it. Like, I remember last year I got, it was all new, all different or whatever, all, you know, Avengers for a friend of mine for his birthday and for Christmas. Cause it's, you know, same day, I think it's like one day off. And I remember getting him the same exact thing a year before when they had rebooted it in December of 2015. And I was like, huh. And I actually picked one up of my own. I was like, I remember getting him. Did I buy him this already? But this is 2016. And I looked and no, it's different roster. But the crazy thing is the same exact storyline. It was again, Kane. Is it Kane? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. I'm like, but this is an issue one with a few different cast members in it, but yet still the same storyline. Okay. I guess if sure, maybe people like it, but I think, I don't know if it's still going on or not, but
Well, yeah. Marvel is realizing the error of their ways. They had a big conference with a bunch of comic book shop owners and the distributor, of course, is Diamond. And they're realizing that their sales are declining and they're figuring out why. The whole diversity is killing them.
Yeah.
You know, they want to have I won't be specific. We all know what diversity means.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, they found that a Lady Thor was working. So then they came out with a bunch of other ones. There's, you know, the Hawkeye is a woman Hawkeye. There's tons of them.
Is this conference, was it a recent one, like last month or?
Just within the last couple months, yeah.
Okay. Because I remember there was one and like all the fans remember it now because they were talking about the diversity and they're saying, it's not working. And then they went ahead and blamed the fans. They said, it's the fans' fault. Our customers, our people who were our target audience is the reason why diversity isn't working within comic books. And they just blatantly like said it out, had a press release, was talking about it. I think, you know, sent out a message about it as well, like typed it all up and sent out a press release about it. And like, that's, that is not what you do. If you sell a product, you do not blame your audience or your customers for the reason for your sales. Like, you figure out internally, what can you do? Okay, well, we see this didn't work, so we'll go ahead and adjust it. But they, like, blatantly blame their fans, saying that they do not want women, strong women. They don't want, you know, African-American. They don't want, you know, people of Indian descent. Like, it was really harsh for them to say, and all the fans were like, what? Excuse me? Like, and it was more so from the fans' point of view. It's the matter of, like, again, rebooting everything and then changing it just to change just to shove in diversity for the sake of it.
Yeah,
like, if they're like, oh, we have to meet a quota, essentially, and to do it for that, not based on this is what the story is happening, this is what's going on, when it seems forced from, like, an executive line of, you know, Marvel, whoever, top-tier people, and you know, the CEOs, if it seems forced, not within the story, then, yeah, it's going to be bad story, and no one's going to like it. It's not going to hold up.
It's different when you bring in a new character that's diversified.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when they brought out Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
The teenage girl, she's of Middle Eastern descent.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. She's one of the ones that it's picked up, and people are liking it.
But
and
when you change a character, so.
Yeah, and they do that a lot, and it's just like, if you want to create new characters, that's fine, but like, you don't necessarily have to get rid of your old ones to do so. Like, there was still room, as they say, there's still room at the top. If you have really good writing, really good art, you can do it, and people will like it if it's something that the audience wants. But to shove it down our throats and to like, force it, like, okay, this is what's going to happen now. We're going to have the same name, the same history, yet they're going to be, you know, changed in some form. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't make sense for the story, then it's audience and their customers are going to be like, I don't see it. I don't relate to it. I don't make sense of it. It doesn't make sense for the storyline, for the character. No, I'm okay. I'll pass on this one. And then it happens more and more and more, and then the book fails. So, yeah, and I remember that was like the worst thing, though, that they could do is blame the fans for that. Yeah. So, like, we'll see how long Marvel lasts. But, yeah, it was pretty big.
As a comic book shop owner, you have to order your books 2 or 3 months ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you're ordering, you see there's a new issue number one coming out. It's a new team, or they're rebooting this team. And you don't know, is this going to be a big seller?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to run short. You want your customers to come in and have a comic book that is brand new, they want to buy off the shelf. If you don't have it, they're going to go someplace else.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens frequently. Why make the trip to that comic shop? I'll go to this other one.
Yeah.
They always have them. So retailers have to pre-order the books so far in advance and the quantities.
Yeah.
You know, they never know. It's a hit and miss.
Yep, yep.
So you don't order enough, you're screwed. You order too much, you're really screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a dead stock.
Yeah.
So anyway, Thor 19, we talked about that. And basically that is all I have for comic books.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. We have lots of other stuff to talk about because this week was finale bonanza. I don't know. Finale, phenomenal finale. I don't know. I'll think of something. But lots of finales for TV shows. Do you have any comic news or anything?
Comic book news? No.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I know of is the Nightwing event coming up. I think it's New Order or something like that in August by DC Comics. And then another event in November, Doomsday Clock are the only two big things that I know for comic books. That's all I know about comic news. You want to go into TV shows?
You can cover TV shows. I really don't have anything except for The Flash and the Angel, Flash from the past, the Arrow.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely. I mean, those are huge. Those are very huge. We had season finales for Supergirl Arrow and The Flash all happened this week. I actually binge watched, it was like 7 or 8 hours within like a couple days of Supergirl. And it was like, it was a struggle, but I made it the last little bit just in time because I was like, well, I can't watch any of it Monday. I just have to watch it, you know, the new show when it comes out. And the last, you say you've watched them all, right?
Yes, go ahead.
The one before the season finale, like, had me screaming at the television because you see Superman come in at the last second. Again, spoiler alert to plenty. Warning. So we see Superman come in at the very last second fighting Supergirl. And come to find out, it was some form of silver kryptonite that was being used against him. And I think it's been mentioned in the comics before. I'm pretty sure it has. Like, there's all forms and colors and different renditions of the kryptonite. But this was a silver kryptonite that he was infected with. Was it? It wasn't mind control, was it? I was trying to remember.
Basically brainwashed.
Okay.
He just thought he was seeing General Zod.
Yeah, he thought he was seeing General Zod as Supergirl, and so he was fighting her like no holding back. And they fight. I thought it was a really cool fight scene. Looked really awesome. They were flying all around Metropolis or Central City, whichever one there was. Yeah, Central City or not Central? The one that she's always in. I can't remember. The Supergirl city that she's in. There's so many different ones. And so she's all in it, and it was great. I loved it. Very emotional ending, especially if you watch, you know, all the other episodes leading up to it. Because, you know, Supergirl has this guy that she likes, Mon-El, and he's from Daxum. So he does have some superpowers, but it's not as much as Supergirl as a Kryptonian would. But it's like strength and super, you know, kind of leaping and stuff like that. You jump, single balance, all that stuff. But no heat vision, no flying, nothing like that. I think was he bulletproof? No, he's not bulletproof because lead. Lead can affect him, but kryptonite does not. So, get to the last episode of the season finale. She defeats Superman somehow, I guess somehow. Her training was more with the DEO was better than what Superman was. And they even mentioned, like, oh, I'm sure you're holding back. And Superman was like, no, they did the test. And they were saying, no, you beat me fair and square, but it's a different universe, so I'll take it. And then Supergirl defeats the big bad person, Mon-El's mother, who is Terry Hatcher. So it was just like really cool, like kind of a throwback episode almost, because we had in the last few episodes, we had like Dean Cain show up, we had Terry Hatcher, we had Linda Carter. All of them were there. Like, it was really cool to see, like, Linda Carter and Terry Hatcher go up against each other. I was like, that's Wonder Woman, Lois Lane. Like, it's so cool. And so.
Kevin Sorbo.
Yes, Kevin Sorbo. Yeah. And I'm like, this Hercules dude. Yeah. It was really awesome. And yeah, it was really, really good. Really good ending. That one was probably the least, like, what do you want to call it? Like, cliffhanger-ish. Cause there was some good stuff. We saw, Mon-El had to be shipped off the planet because it was poisoned with lead. It wasn't going to hurt humans, but it was going to hurt Daxamites. And so he had to leave planet, and then he gets sucked into a wormhole or black hole, maybe.
I thought he went in there on his own. The way he was looking is he was headed right into it.
I don't think so. I don't think he has, like, full control over the craft. It didn't look like there was, like, a full, manual controls. And, yeah, it looked like, at least from what I can tell and what I remember, he was kind of, like, freaked out about it, and he was worried that he was going to go in. But, yeah, maybe he did control.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But, so, yeah, Supergirl, solid. So, I got to ask you, the very last second, we see, a flashback of Krypton, and their planet's being destroyed, and we see this shrine, and we have some little thing. We don't see, it was probably a baby or some kind, infant creature, and this person looked like a shrine, a cultist, there we go, dressed in robes, pricks their finger, his blood, they feed the blood to the infant person, close the ship, and off of Krypton they go, and they said, it will rain, where it is going, it will rain. What do you think, what's your speculation of who that might be?
Well, they said it'll rain Earth.
Yes, on Earth it will rain. Yeah.
I don't know. Could be a doomsday creature of some kind. I don't know.
Okay.
It's just funny how they go back and rewrite this stuff. Like, well, you know, we needed something for storyline next year since we got renewed. Let's have another third spaceship leave Krypton and let's head that to Earth. Let's add something new.
Well, in the storyline, actually, Doomsday is from, there is one of the Doomsdays, because there's multiple, from Krypton. He was actually if it is Doomsday. There actually is like a storyline of his where he was this creature and he was like a science experiment, and they would test him over and over again. And every single time he died, like his only power was every single time he died, he would come back to life stronger and immune to what previously killed him. So in the comic books, you know, they killed him by drowning him, and he finally came back, and he was, you know, immune to being drowned, fire, et cetera, pretty much everything. And it was like this like barren side of Krypton where, like, you know, the scientists, no one really goes there. It's just like nothing's over this part of Krypton, almost like a desert or something like that, where it's like, all right, we're not going to go to the mountains and the deserts and just stay away from there. We'll stay in our cities. And that's what he was kind of bred. That's if that is Doomsday. There actually is a few other, because I read an article because I was talking to a friend of mine and seeing like what he thought, because I thought initially that's Doomsday. Holy cow, that's going to be awesome. And we were reading about it, and there is either, it could be Hell, which is H-E-L, and that was, which would be a really good storyline, because in the New 52, he was a main character, because he's a Kryptonian, and he's like, I want to go ahead and repopulate Earth with Kryptonians. And he actually, like, you know, convinced, no mind control and nothing like that, but he convinced Supergirl that was the right thing to do. And so she actually fell in love with him, and with Mon-El out of the picture, that makes sense, you know, new love interest. And he actually turns out being bad, you know, of course, because his plans are like, okay, well, we need to go ahead and essentially wipe Earth clearing, and then we'll start with Krypton and we'll build from there. And she was like, no, that's not what you said. You know, you said just, we're going to just repopulate and we can be together, and we're okay to have, you know, both of us can live in peace. And he's like, nope, it has to be one or the other. So that would be interesting to see. And this also is a character in, I want to say it was New 52, because I don't think it was Rebirth, but it was actually called Rain. She is Rain. That's her name.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, that makes sense. And I think there was, yeah, Kryptonian descent, that kind of stuff. So it could be either of those, you know, either one would be really cool. I hope it is one of those, because it'd be cool to have, you know, something where it's comic book, you know, set in comic books, and there's that history and that continuity to it. No dead set of who it might be. But it's cool to kind of speculate on it.
All we're doing is speculating,
yes,
folks.
Yeah.
So let's move over to The Flash.
Yes, Flash. What are your thoughts on it?
The second to the last episode of the season, I thought I was going to cry.
Yeah, me too. It was my contact solution was messing up with me. And I think there was a wave of pollen that came in because, yeah, my eyes, for some reason, were just very watery.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional when they actually killed her. Like, no, I thought for sure. I was like, yeah, they're going to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen till the season finale. We find out that it really wasn't Iris that died.
Yeah.
It was HR. But that's okay. There's plenty of multi-universes. We get a new HR.
But I really like that HR. He's really cool. He really grew on me. He's more fun and kind of just goofy and lighthearted than at least the last Harrison Wells. Yeah, he had to use these, I don't know what you call it, transmogrifier thing, something, pseudoscience, whatever, but essentially he can change how he looks, and so he changed to look like Iris, and I guess Iris was forced to change as him as well, maybe? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because HR...
Yeah,
HR at the last second shows up, shooting, but yeah, it was already too late, and then they switched back, and Iris is HR, and HR is Iris. But yeah, it was really, really good season finale again. I think that all three of these were amazing. A friend of mine, he actually guessed that that's what it was. He's like, I think that HR swapped places with Iris. Because in the comic books, you cannot kill off Iris. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, she cannot be dead. Like, and I don't want them to be like, all right, let's go back in time and save her again. Like, it has to be something else. And so I like the way they did it with the whole, like, you know, shape-shifting thing.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a little bit of foreshadowing in that episode.
Yes, yep.
When they used the little device, the chameleon. But,
Then
the season finale, when Barry pretty much sacrificed himself into the Speed Force.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah, yep. I'm super, super excited for it because I love The Flash. And this season was amazing, in my opinion. Some people didn't like it, but I loved it. And yeah, at the last second, I actually texted my friend because we were texting as the show was on live. And I was like, oh man, we're going to end on a good note. I like this. This is okay. And literally send the text and a lightning bolt comes down. I'm like, what is this? And then more. And there's just chaos and there's earthquakes. And I'm like, oh no. And sure enough, there's some kind of chaotic storm thing that's going on, which could be from Rebirth being the fire. Was it fire? Speed Force Storm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Speed Force Storm, which actually kind of breeds a lot of new speedsters. So that'd be cool to see like a whole new wave of them. Not always bad, but just, you know, a bunch of new people having their superpowers and speedsters going around Central City. And, you know, somebody has to kind of teach them and coach them and they do their thing. Well, Barry Allen, last second, Speed Force is like rupturing and all kinds of chaos. So somebody has to go in there. And I had a friend of mine is like, why didn't just Jay Garrick go back in? But Barry Allen kind of sees it as, you know, he messed up the timeline so much. This is his punishment. This is rightful. This is what he has to do to kind of like make things right for himself. And so he goes and the Speed Force gone. And yeah, just ends like that. So I want Wally to at least have half a season of a spotlight, because it's not titled Barry Allen, The Flash. It's just The Flash. Yeah. And in the comic books, Wally West was, you know, The Flash for a very, very long time. Because again, Barry Allen went to the Speed Force. He died. He sacrificed himself to save the world. And in doing so, Wally West had to step up to be The Flash. And a lot of people loved Wally as The Flash. So I hope this season, at least half the season, maybe more, they'll be okay. But yeah, to see Wally kind of step into the spotlight.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then Arrow kind of left it a big cliffhanger with the island blowing up.
That was probably the worst cliffhanger, because, you know, they're on the island, back on the island. Deathstroke is there, and they have Captain Boomerang shows up, and they're fighting the big bad guy for the season, and got both teams there. Black Canary's there. I mean, everybody's on the island, whole Team Arrow. And the whole time, Oliver is trying to track down, you know, the big bad guy of the season, Prometheus. Which we still didn't find out who Vigilante is.
No, that's next year.
Yeah, we
next didn't find season. Out. Yeah, everybody didn't said find that. Out. Everybody said it's somebody who we've already met.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't find out who Vigilante is, and we didn't find out who that hacker guy is, which I'm sure they are, yeah, people that it's going to make sense, and it's going to mean something when we do find out. But I was like, I was hoping we would find out this season, or this season finale. But yeah, really solid. The last very second, Oliver's trying to save his son, who Prometheus, big bad guy, is holding hostage. He actually rigged this entire island that, you know, Oliver Queen was stranded on from the beginning. He rigged it so that whenever Prometheus dies, the entire island blows up. And sure enough, Prometheus is like, well, I want your son to see you be, you know, choose him over all your friends and loved ones. I want him to see you be the villain or something like that. And he kills himself because it was kind of his way of choosing his son over, you know, his team. But not really, like, he didn't kill him, but I don't know. But sure enough, Prometheus kills himself, shot in the head, and boom, the island blows up.
The nice thing about the island blowing up is that maybe we'll finally be done with these stupid island stories.
Yeah.
I know you kind of enjoyed them.
I do, yeah.
But when I record Arrow and I go back and watch it, I always fast forward the scenes of him being on the island and in the past. It just got on my nerves. Like, stop it already. I always fast forward it. So I'm hoping, because I saw how this episode ended with him being rescued off the island.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they're done with it. And then now this time, there'll be no more going back to the island. It's kind of like Gilligan's Island. They always kept going back to the island after they got rescued. There's like three movies after they got rescued.
Really?
Yeah, it was annoying as hell. Like, you're off the island, stay off the island.
Yeah. But yeah, in the comic books, he doesn't go back quite often. But at least from what I've seen, I've never seen them just blow it up completely. But this time they did. And yeah. And within this, because they had, you know, throughout the Arrow television series, they have these flashbacks to show how Oliver Queen came to be the Green Arrow. And then as that's going on, we see in the real time him actually being the Green Arrow. And this season finale, after 5 years, you know, on the island, he's actually finally rescued. And it shows at the very last second, and it picks up just for full circle where episode one started with him getting picked up. And I'm like, that's cool. I like that. And yeah, I like that storyline. I like the whole, like, history of it to find out. And a lot of the times, crazy thing is, I don't know how half the stuff makes sense for you then, because most of the time, they'll have the flashbacks be relevant for the current episode.
Yes.
So, but yeah, and they talked about it a while back, actually last season, because a lot of people were thinking that, okay, it's been, I think, maybe 5 years. It's really close to 5 years. And sure enough, they waited this season. 5 seasons, 5 years. It makes sense for them to finally be done with the flashbacks. So it'd be interesting to see what next season, what they're going to do, because essentially they have a whole episode, like whole half of an episode to work with now. They got new time to work and shove in new content. So are they going to have somebody else have flashbacks, or is it just going to be more, you know, I don't know. It should be cool. I'm excited to see, you know, what they're going to do with that, because
there'll probably be more side stories. We'll probably see more of Renee and his daughter and his ex-wife and the lady, the cop who's the new White Canary or Black Canary. Yeah. We'll probably see her story. They'll all have different storylines. That's going to suck up a lot of it.
I'm okay with that. It's cool to have those characters have development.
Character development.
And kind of bring them to see why should I care about these other people being on the team? So yeah, should be interesting to see what happens next season, which unfortunately won't be till like September or October, because they have always long, long breaks. I think it's, usually October.
Yeah, October. Come back.
So, but yeah, all those season finales. I think those are the big things for me, at least, you know, at least nerd related wise. Those would be it.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Oh, Doctor Who? That was another one. Not no season finale, of course. No. But it's been good so far. Liking the season. I think we mentioned it last time. Still okay with Capaldi leaving. Like, yes. You know, he's doing okay with this last season. I did like last episode a lot because we got to see a lot of Missy, which is kind of cool. And we found out maybe, like, we don't actually physically see it, but it heavily, heavily alludes to Missy being the one within that vault. So again, it doesn't show her, so it could still be something else, but it's, yeah, they do mention a lot. So it's, you know, there could still be a switch, which I'm hoping for. I'm really am because I read some, like, an article talking about, like, you know, behind the scenes stuff, and I don't want it to be Missy in there. I want it to be someone else. But did you happen to see any articles about, okay.
Nothing.
So
we'll
just wait and see how that turns out. But
Doctor Who, I pretty much stay away from the spoilers.
Okay. It wasn't really a spoiler, but it was, I think, I'm almost certain it was a solid, like, you know, news source. And it could be a spoiler, but could it not? Yeah, it's just one of those kind of things. Well, hopefully it comes out to be, but I'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but yeah, that's all I got for TV shows.
Let's move over to movies then.
Alrighty. What you got for movies?
I haven't seen any new movies recently. I've been wanting to go see the new Aliens. I might go see it tomorrow morning if I get around to it. The only movies thing I have is I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman next week.
Yes, yeah, that's going to be really exciting. Got my ticket. And I looked again, it actually is Thursday at 10:40, so.
Really?
It's going to be a long night, but totally worth it.
I'll go in and I'll squeeze it in sometime that weekend. Maybe I'll catch an early showing where there's not a big crowd.
Yeah, but yeah, for me, definitely excited for that, of course.
Transformers The Last Night comes out June 23rd.
Yeah, that's another one coming out in June, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one.
But yeah, for me, big thing is just watched Baywatch, actually. Just saw it last night, and I liked it a lot. It was really funny. The Rock, loved The Rock, and Zac Efron in it, and I liked him a lot. Funny as can be, and it was really cool to see that. And they have, for those who may care or may not, spoiler alert, they do have David Hasselhoff come in as, I guess, Mitch, whatever his name is, Buchanan. And they do have CJ, Pamela Anderson, come in. To my understanding, those are the only two from the original show. There could be more, but yeah, I don't remember it too much. It was kind of before my time, unfortunately. I was a little too young to remember Baywatch a lot, but it was really cool. Definitely cheesy at moments, but really funny. Cool action at some point. So yeah, it was a good movie. If you like the original show, I'd suggest it. If you like The Rock and Zac Efron, definitely suggest it. So it's a funny one, but not too much nerd related, but still movies.
Not at all nerd related.
Yeah, not really. Besides The Rock, he's in it, and that's you know, Black Adam. So cool to have
that. All right, I'll let you have that one.
Yeah. Beyond that would be Spider-Man, actually. He just had a new trailer come out, and I think it was the third trailer. Yeah, trailer number 3, if I recall. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I watched it.
Okay. I liked it. It was a good trailer. Like, usually I stay away from trailers, you know, 3, sometimes 2, because it usually gives away way too much. At least in my opinion, I don't think it does. Like, it was a solid trailer that still has some new stuff, and, you know, it still, you know, brings the excitement to definitely want to continue to, you know, be locked in to watch it. And we see early on in the trailer, if you haven't watched it, go check it out on YouTube, and we see there's an AI system of some sort. Like, maybe it's an AI, I don't know, but Tony Stark, you know, creates a suit, and she starts talking to Peter, and she's like, there are 300 and such, you know, forms of web shooter, you know, models or whatever. So I was like, that's cool, and never knew that. Like, you know, usually he has to work it somehow and does little things with it, but now it's more of like a selection thing, like you would while playing a video game and you're changing your weapons. It's that kind of thing, I guess. So it's really cool to see that. And yeah, I'm still super excited to see how the Spider-Man is and kind of works within, you know, the Marvel Universe. So a lot of people, after seeing all these trailers, they keep thinking it's Tony Stark, you know, it's Iron Man number 4. But I'm like, no, I think most likely we might see some extra content of Tony Stark in the movie that's not in the trailers. My guess is that most of his time in the movie is just going to be what the trailers have already shown. So we'll see. But yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. Not so much an Iron Man 4, but we'll find out.
Well, he's there to help bring over some of the Avengers, mm-hmm. the Captain America crew, not crew, but fans.
Yes.
Yep. Who aren't really familiar with Spider-Man. So that makes sense.
Yeah. They want to bring, you know, connect the ties or connect the lines to make sure that people know, hey, this is Marvel owns it. This is a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. So, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it's all right for him to be in there.
So, like I said, Transformers last night, June 23rd. Mm-hmm. We have War for the Planet of the Apes in July.
Yep.
July 14th. Blade Runner. Finally getting that Blade Runner sequel off and running. Blade Runner 2049 comes out in October.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember last episode I went over a bunch of these, but I forgot to mention Blade Runner. But yeah.
Thor comes out in my first week there in November. They're supposed to be remaking, you remember the TV show? Do you remember seeing reruns of the TV show, The $6 Million Man?
Yes, here and there. Yeah. Occasionally.
We've talked about it
before. Yeah, I've definitely seen the comics. Yeah.
You didn't care too much for it.
Nah.
They're doing a $6 Billion Man.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be starring Mark Wahlberg.
Nice. I'm hip to that. That's okay. I like Mark Wahlberg, and I like science fiction superhero stuff. So, yeah. I'm hip.
That's all I got for movies.
Yeah, I think I got as well. Well, I guess a slight movie tie-in, then we'll go into games. At least I have one quick thing. But as I mentioned in the last episode, actually, I totally forgot about it. I think I mentioned early on in the episode. Then I forgot as we were recording, so I had to record and throw it in at the last second. Captain America Shield. Got it. Finally came. My goodness, it took forever. But, you know, it's not any fault of the actual company. The company is the Armor Factory. I think it's the-armorfactory.com, and they make cosplay props and stuff like that. They have Thor's hammer and Iron Man's, you know, armor and all that good stuff. But the one that I got was Captain America's shield made of aluminum. Like, so it's not vibranium. Next best thing, in my opinion. Still lightweight and, you know, looks awesome. Like, I'm super excited for it. And can't wait to, you know, bring up the cosplay stuff and kind of step it up a little bit. Now I have, you know, Winter Soldier's arm and I have the outfit. Now I just got the shield so that I can go with it. Two birds, one stone. Because eventually I'll probably have a Captain America. You know, I'll do that cosplay as well. Got it. Good reviews for the Armor Factory. So, but it is long shipping. So expect about 3 to 4 weeks after you order it to get it. And that was the only downfall. But besides that, it was awesome. Really, really love it. Got to show to a few friends at work, and they thought it was really cool. So, yeah, and I'm excited to do some cosplay stuff with it. But, yep. Yeah.
That's cool. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. I forgot to show Nick. I was going to bring it. I forgot because I went to get gas, and so I was coming up here, and I forgot, got gas, got some fruit and breakfast, and then had my wife get in the car, and then we left. And I was like, I feel like I'm forgetting something. And I even said that. And she's like, you have your mic, and you have your laptop, and you have this and that. And I'm like, charger, yep, got that, got it all. I don't know, it's just an odd feeling. I hate that feeling, but I feel like I forgot something. And sure enough, he asked me, he's like, oh, did you bring the shield? I'm like, sorry.
I thought you were messing with me at first.
No, yeah, he's like, are you joking? Like, no, it was really early. It's really cool, lightweight, and it looks really awesome. So if you want a Captain America shield, really good condition. Colored and everything is painted and handmade. Check out thearmorfactory.com.
The-armorfactory.com.
Yep, pretty sure.
Cool. But
yep, that's them. Gaming stuff. I have one quick thing that I mentioned at least. One of the games I talk about a lot, Overwatch. They actually have an event going on because this is their 1 year anniversary, and they have a week event going on until June 12th, I think, and all kinds of new skins and stuff you can add to your character. Really fun stuff. And yeah, it's going on until the 13th. So. And this weekend, I think. Yeah, this weekend, they actually have a free weekend. So if you have a PS4 or Xbox or PC that can run Overwatch, you can download it, play it, everything for free. So as long as you have internet provider of some sort. Yeah, that's the only thing I got for gaming. Science stuff? You got any science stuff?
No, not this time around.
All right.
Science stuff this time
around. I looked as well and couldn't find anything. But maybe next time we'll look into some more science stuff.
You know, we got a, you're talking about games. We got to talk about games yet?
Yeah, just doing it. So, yeah, if you have a gaming thing, feel free.
No, we got a mutual friend of ours that, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing some artwork for me for a project I'm working on. And I was checking up on him, and he said that he plays Pro Pokemon TCG. What is that?
Yeah, it's a professional Pokemon trading card game, kind of like Magic the Gathering that I play, where he goes to tournaments and stuff like that. Yeah, I've talked to him a little bit about it. But yeah, there's trading cards, like as you probably heard of since the 90s and the 2000s, Pokemon cards still coming out now. And wow. Yeah, there's a pretty big following that does tournaments nearby and bigger regional tournaments and stuff like that. So yeah, he plays that a lot. So kind of like the thing that I do with Magic the Gathering. But yeah, I have some, but I've never actually like put together a professional deck, competitive deck. But yeah, it's a fun game for sure.
Good. Talk about games. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all I got for gaming. And yeah, next time we'll probably cover some science stuff. But yeah, that's all I got.
Well, speaking of games.
Okay, you do got something for gaming.
Well, not really. Do you know when Nintendo was originally founded?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Trivia. I want to say 1983.
1983?
Yep, that's my guess.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to leave that to a contest.
Oh, okay.
If you want to contact us and let us know when Nintendo was originally founded, when it originally started, and what did they originally sell? Let us know. Do you know what Nintendo means, what the rough translation into English means?
I know if I hear it, I've probably heard it before.
Leave luck to heaven.
Oh, okay. No, never heard that. Okay.
Me neither.
Yeah, interesting.
But let us know when Nintendo was founded and what did they originally sell.
And why do they want to do that and tell us?
Because they will win a prize.
Prize?
We still have a prize that we've never given away.
Yeah,
we have several prizes never given away.
Yeah, we mentioned that a while back. Do you have any prizes picked out? That way they can know what they're playing for.
I have a glass that I will send them. It is a drinking glass, and it has the Cloud City from Star Wars on it.
Ah.
And when you put a cold beverage in it, the Millennium Falcon shows up.
Ah, very cool. Like a coffee mug or?
A drinking glass.
Just a drink glass. Okay. Full size. Okay.
Full size drinking glass.
Cool. I've never seen that. So awesome.
And speaking of contests, I think we should do a contest starting for the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
That we will pick a random person who leaves a feedback on, let's say, iTunes.
Okay.
Whether it's good or bad, because either way, we learn from it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you get a bad grade in school, that's how you learn to do better.
Yeah, sometimes.
Either pay attention, or maybe you should do your homework,
yeah,
or study harder. But pushing that aside, we'll pick a random name out of iTunes from people who leave feedbacks.
Okay.
We'll carry that for the month of June. So yeah, leave a feedback, good or bad. Give us some stars, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we'll pick a name.
Yep. Starting in June. So if you've already left one, unfortunately you're not entered into this contest. But after June 1st,
yes,
so it's like Tuesday. So by the time this is actually posted, if you haven't left your iTunes feedback, you know, rank or whatever you want to call it, let us know and you can be entered.
Yes.
Win free stuff.
We will make a decision there the 1st of July, and we'll give them something special.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to hold that close to the vest right now, what that's going to be.
Okay. Shipping included, of course.
Yes.
Completely free.
Won't cost you anything.
Nope. No taxes, no nothing.
Nope. And your address will stay between us, between Ryan and myself. Doesn't go any further. We don't share it with anybody, except for maybe the postman.
Yep.
Or the post lady.
Yep. Yep.
The postal clerk. Well, how do people reach us, Ryan?
Well, of course, as always, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, podcasts, search things, any kind of podcast app that you may have on your phone, definitely we're there, iTunes. But if you want to follow us and you're on the website, check out allaccessnerds.com/subscribe. You'll see all the links there. You don't even have to sign in, the pesky sign-ins and remember the passwords and all the annoying stuff of having to make sure you're human. Hey, if you're a robot, we still love you. We still like that you listen to it. It's okay. You know, robot love too, man. It's all good. So, yes, allaccessnerds.com/subscribe. Like us on all the things. Follow us on Facebook and all the good stuff. So,
get us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all I got.
Well, this is Nick signing off for Ryan. Go forth and do great things.